This is All Things Considered on NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Concord Monitor reporter Elodie Reed has been following the life of a pig at a New Hampshire farm from its birth to death for the newspaper's Ag and Eats blog. It's an attempt to understand what goes into the creation of the meat many of us consume. We spoke with Elodie when she began this project, but now it is drawing to a close, and she joins me now to talk about what she's learned so far. Welcome, Elodie.
Hi, Peter.
So you were tracking this pig, Pink 2.0, at Miles Smith Farm in Loudoun. And you were looking at things like cost as well as some other things. Let's start with the cost. How much does it cost to raise a pig from birth to death?
So up to the slaughter point, it was just over $300. And it's about $100 to get them processed.
And we should mention that Piggy went to market essentially on Monday, sad to say.
Yes, up in North Haverhill at PT Farm.
So we'll all mourn seeing those cute pictures of Pink 2.0 that you've put on the Concord Monitor blog. We'll link to that at nhpr.org. As you followed this project, Elodie, what did you find that you think would come as a surprise to most people who eat meat but don't really know where it comes from?
I don't know. I mean, I guess what may be most surprising is how quick the process is. You know, it's only been 5 months since I've started this project, and it's already over for the most part. Pink grew really fast. He was a little over 150 pounds by the time we finished up. And people may see animals on a farm and expect them to be there a lot longer, but in terms of pigs, it's a quick process. And I think that is kind of how it goes for a lot of farm animals. So if you are eating meat, you're eating an animal that was probably, you know, between 6 months and a year old.
And Pink 2.0 grew up on a local farm where there weren't hundreds and hundreds of pigs. There were, I don't know, how many were there on this farm, do you estimate?
The number varied. So it started 16, went down to, I think, 7 by the time Pink left. So there's 6 pigs from his original litter left.
Mm-hmm. And how do you imagine a pig growing up in this kind of environment as opposed to a factory farm would be different?
Well, certainly a lot more space. Once the pigs were maybe a month and a half, 2 months old, they went outside. And Carol has this nice pasture out behind her pig shed.
That's Carol Sewell.
Carol Sewell, yes, mm-hmm. The farmer at Miles Smith Farm. And, you know, they're out there most of the day. When they all do go in the shed, they kind of squish in, but pigs do that sort of on purpose. But they also get the individual attention because there are so many fewer pigs there per caretaker than you would see at a larger farm. And, you know, Carol and I would go out and she would kind of observe the pigs. One had a foot problem one time and she, you know, paid attention to that. So there's just a lot more individualized care and a lot more socialization. And Carol often emphasized that social aspect because when a pig does go in to be slaughtered, it's much less stressful if that pig is used to humans handling it as opposed to not. And the less stressed a pig is, I mean, the better it is for everyone. But it also appears to have a tangible effect on the meat itself, makes it taste better.
When you say interaction with humans, I mean, the way you wrote and the photos you took and the way Carol Sewell spoke about the pigs, I don't want to say it is pet-like, but there is a relationship there that I imagine is emotionally difficult to cut off when it comes time to actually get to the business part of the relationship with the animal.
Yeah. I mean, Carol made the point that these are not pets. They are raised for meat. And from my perspective, I love animals, but I definitely had a different relationship to this pig than I have to other animals I interact with. But I think Carol makes the point that it is hard for every animal to let go of them, but she wants to have that experience with each individual animal because she feels it's important to her consumption of the meat. And she told me once she wants to share the story of each animal with the people who are buying the animal to eat it. And I just think that's a really different approach.
Pink 2.0 has been taken to market, but that doesn't mean your series at Ag and Eats at the Concord Monitor is over. What will you be looking at going forward?
So I have one story sort of talking about going to PT Farm and what I saw there, what it was like. I'm also going to be going to pick up the meat when it's dropped off next week. And myself and our Concord Insider crew are going to be doing a food snob segment. So we're actually going to be cooking the meat and tasting it. And so I'll be writing about that as well. And I'm also going to write a personal piece because I'm actually a vegetarian, which I think we spoke about the last time mm-hmm. I was here. And just going through this process, and I actually felt quite differently than I thought I would. Maybe a little more detached, and I thought that was kind of interesting.
So wait, how did you expect to feel, and then how did you feel?
I thought I would feel a lot sadder, to be quite honest, and I thought I would be much more bothered by it. But when I was actually at the slaughterhouse, it kind of seems like It was a life cycle that was coming to its natural end, at least in this context. And when I actually went inside, I actually saw where the pigs were being processed. I didn't see pink processed, but I saw other pigs being processed. And it didn't gross me out, to be honest. I thought that would really gross me out, and it didn't. It just seemed like that's what those animals are raised for. They're providing a purpose, and at least knowing that it's being done humanely, it just isn't as bothersome as I thought it would be.
Well, Elodie, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
That's Elodie Reed. She's a reporter for the Concord Monitor, and she's been following the life of a pig on a farm in Loudoun and giving us all a look at how meat is raised. And you can find a link to her reporting on the Concord Monitor's Ag and Eats blog at nhpr.org.